Can you hear me now? Great. Well, good morning, everybody. So once a year, when Wallace and Linda go on a well-deserved sabbatical break, vacation, you know, Wallace, in a couple years now, he's asked me to give a message with some of the other elders. And so I really enjoy it, but it's also a very nerve-wracking because I couldn't do what Wallace does. You could give me 90 hours a week, and I couldn't do it. So I just really want to say, Wallace, I know you're not here, but I'll pretend you're here. I really appreciate you, and I can't wait till you get back. So, you know, when I prepare for this message, I really have 51 weeks, because I'm counting on the fact that he may ask me up again, right? And so hopefully afterwards, Linda will text me. She'll give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So if I get a thumbs up, there's a good chance I'll be back next year and give this message. So I got to be honest with you, the message that I had on my heart, what God was laying on my heart was, human nature, okay, was human nature. You know, one of the things I love about the Bible is that God is consistent. What happened a long time ago is going to happen again. Does everybody kind of, you know, you can shake your head, you don't have to, but that's how I interpret things. Then all of a sudden, you know, I'm rolling, I've got my, I'm a very routine person because when I was younger, I was very disorganized, you know, and things don't go well when you're very disorganized. So I've gotten into the habit of writing everything down, giving myself to-do lists. I do the same thing every day. I, you know, first thing in the morning, I listen to my daily Bible app while I'm walking my dog. I read my daily devotional, and then I get into scripture, and I hold myself accountable to read the Bible at least 3 times a year. And so, you know, and if I miss it, I get really mad at myself. But then Wallace reminds me all he's asking for is 5 minutes. I'm like, I can give you 5 minutes, right? But anyway, so I do that. And so for the last 3 months, I've been writing notes at the end of my journal. And I've gotten 4 or 5 pages of notes. So every day as I read scripture, I listen to it, or I read my daily devotional, I make myself notes. And I was really, really ready to give this message, right? Then all of a sudden, September 10th happened. We all know what happened on September 10th. And the reason I bring that up is because I didn't know much about Charlie Kirk. I really didn't. You know who knew about Charlie Kirk? It was my kids, right? I thought I was doing a really good job as a Christian father sharing the gospel with my kids. And guess what? He did a much better job than I did. And my kids would, like Cameron, and so funny story, and I'll get to the message, but I just want to share because God's put it on my heart, so I don't have any notes about this. But my daughter went to Loudoun County Schools. And if you ever know anything about Loudoun County Schools, they're always in the press. It's a fact. You know, I'm not making anything up. And so she goes to Loudoun County Schools. And her junior, senior year, we would have some conversations where I'm like, you know, this is going off the tracks, right? And so as a father, how do you do that, right? Well, so the one thing I did know is I was saved in the state of Tennessee. I love Tennessee. Churches everywhere. You know what I'm saying? You run off the road, you're going to run into a church, right? And that's where I was saved, and that's where I turned my life over to Jesus and met a great pastor there. And I'll share this with you who forgot, or it's been a while since I've communicated this, but the reason, what separated me from Christ, I knew he existed. Growing up, I knew Jesus Christ had changed a ton of lives. I didn't want to be one of them because I knew I would change. Right, and then when you're in your late teens, early 20s, I was having a pretty good time. But I knew once I accepted Jesus Christ, my life would change forever. And as a matter of fact, it did. And by the way, it changed for the better, not the worse. So I stand here today giving testimony that the best thing you can do in your life is give your life to Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'll even tell you parents this much. My personal opinion, I would rather have my kids have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ than to have an MBA, a PhD, or a master's degree. I'm just telling you. That's the truth. Because you take all that knowledge, and without wisdom, it's the most dangerous thing in the world. Knowledge without wisdom is the most dangerous thing in the world. Wisdom comes from God. That's the truth. I'm just sharing, okay? So I prayed, and I kept pushing University of Tennessee, University of Tennessee, University of Tennessee, right? And guess what? She made that decision. But while she was there, she still had these other views, right? I'm like, come on, God, what are you doing? You know, I sent her to University of Tennessee. That's where I got saved. I wanted to know the Lord. all of a sudden, one day, Cameron texts me, goes, "Hey, Dad, Charlie Kirk is coming to University of Tennessee." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Charlie Kirk, I kind of heard about him." So guess what I started doing? I started watching his videos. Holy moly. Oh, you want to talk about an individual that's on fire for Jesus Christ. But not only that, he's a young man with the wisdom of an old man. I'll be 120 and I won't have his wisdom. I mean, just the stuff he said. And the other thing was how eloquent he was. He was just completely eloquent. And he had dialogue. People that I'd want to punch in the face and go Old Testament on, he gave them grace. He gave them a voice. And my daughter saw that. Boom. She's a different person today. I can't take the glory. I give it to him. And my other daughter, Bryn, she was always on fire. You know, she's a soccer player in college. And I'll tell you a funny story. The boys' soccer team says Bryn plays like she's angry at the world. So she's always, you know, she's always been on fire. But anyway, so I just share that. That's personal. You know, I'm probably going to get text messages or they're going to try to hit me on social media, which I'm not on, which is a good thing. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. So September 10th changed this message. And then the message was going to be put on the armor of God. Now, if you go back about 10 years, Wallace did a great message on the armor of God and just went into details of how Roman shields and all these things were made. It was fantastic. So after September 10th, you know, I realized, I said, you know what? I said, we really need to put the armor of God on because the end times are coming faster than we think. Okay. Now, I heard somebody say the other day, some pastor, I'm not sure, but I heard that, you know, he predicted, listen, no one knows when the end times come. And I laugh all the time because you have a lot of people that say, oh, global warming, then they drop dead. Guess what? The end times came for them. So be more concerned about your end times, the end times of the world, because Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Once you're dead, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, once I'm dead, I don't care where you put me because I'm not here. You know what I'm saying? So if you guys want to have a ceremony, celebration of life, hopefully, but don't have a funeral for me because I already know I'm in a better place. I'm celebrating just like Charlie Kirk is celebrating. So don't worry about that aspect of it. So just remember that. We all have a time stamp on our head. And if we knew the day that we would die, we'd probably change our lives really quickly, but God doesn't reveal that to us. Why? I don't know. So I just wanted to share that with you. I'm sharing from my heart right now, and as the Spirit leads me. So then last night around 3 in the morning, I changed the message to putting on the armor of God to why put on the armor of God, okay? That's the more important part. So before we go into this, I want to share something with you, and I apologize. And I'm going to look at my watch because I'm separating you guys from lunch. So so here's what I want to share with you. And it's funny, after the murder of Charlie Kirk, I've had people reach out to me because, you know, they know I'm a believer. And one guy was like, hey, I want you to share the gospel with my daughter. And she's highly educated. You know, she's going to get a PhD. And so now I'm dealing with people that are really highly educated who now, for whatever reason, good, bad, or indifferent, but I know why, they want to know more about the gospel. So Satan, let's put it this way. In this world, I promise you this, I can give you two truths, good and evil. God and Satan, right? Satan, when he was cast out of heaven, brought one-third of the angels with him, right? So we are walking amongst evil every day of our lives. So don't be surprised, and my message will go into that. But I'm going to read something to you, and this should make sense. So I had this one individual, and they were kind of confused. This person has a master's degree, a PhD, and a bachelor's degree. And we were getting into a discussion back and forth, and I finally had to stop, and I said, hey, let me ask you a question. How many sexes are there? All of a sudden, they sent me article after article after article. And I said, no, I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. Is there A1, B2, or C? I'm not sure, and it's okay. Wouldn't answer it. So that told me a lot about where this person is spiritually. I've also had other conversations with people, and I just ask them flat out. I'm like, do you believe in God? No, I become an atheist. And that, to me, is sad. And by the way, I'm still working on these people. I haven't given up on them, you know? It's just because I know what the end is. But let me tell you where we are today. And I'm going to go to Romans 1, 18 through 32. This is where we are today. This is where the world was over 2,000 years ago. Romans was written 54, 55 AD. For those of you that are much better scholars than me, you'll know. But And it was written by Paul. And it says this: "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the worlds, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified God as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies and in one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because God gave them over to shameful lust, even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a deprived mind so that what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, nor mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they only continue to do the very things that they only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." Okay, does that sound like the world today? Raise your hand. I mean, we're not videotaping you, so you're safe, okay? But I'm the one that's going to be the target of raising my hand. But that is the world today. That is the world of Paul 2,000 years ago. So that's where my message is: why put on the armor of God? That is why you have to put on the armor of God. Nothing has changed. Originally, my message, I love Paul. I also love King Solomon. King Solomon, to me, is just absolutely fascinating. I mean, if you think about it, his father was David. His mom was Bathsheba. He was just a brilliant individual, but he was brilliant because he prayed for wisdom and knowledge so that he could rule the millions of Jews that God gave him to be king over, right? And so the fascinating thing about King Solomon is he didn't pray for the death of his enemies. He didn't pray for wealth. He didn't pray for riches. He just prayed for wisdom and knowledge so that he could be a good king. So what did God do? God gave him wisdom, knowledge, discernment, understanding. Plus, he made him the wealthiest man in the history of the world. And you can do book studies on it. Solomon was the richest man ever. He makes Elon Musk look like a pauper. I mean, really, Solomon is incredible. Just absolutely incredible. So one of the biggest, I always love reading him because I always tell people, Solomon is probably, if you read the book, and don't laugh at me because Lisa makes fun of me, I can never pronounce Ecclesiastes. I can never pronounce it, so I have to really focus on it. But it is one of the best business books ever written. It's one of the best self-help books ever written. If you've got somebody that's struggling, and let's say they're atheist or they're secular, and they don't really, that is a great book to introduce them to godly principles. Because Solomon was a great businessman. He was a great king. To the very end, at the end, he got a little shaky, but you know, God took care of that. I won't have enough time to talk about it. But this is what he said in Ecclesiastes 1:9. And this was originally my original message before September 10th. "What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, 'Look, this is something new'? It was already here long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them." Then in 12:13 it says, "Now all of this has been heard. Here's the conclusion for the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments for the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So that was going to be the core of my message till September 10th. But Solomon, you know, just gave out great wisdom. So please, If you get a chance, reread that book. It's fascinating. And it's something that you can share with your friends, who may not believe in Jesus, but it's a good stepping stone for their understanding. So then, it's right there. If you want to go to the next page. Okay, Revelation 29:10. So when you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, this is something that's always bothered me. So this is me, right? This is when Jesus is tempted by Satan. If that would have been me running the world, I would have snapped my finger and Satan would have been destroyed, right? But God didn't decide to do that. So understand, till the end of times, we will be living with evil in this world. And it's a spiritual battle. And folks, wake up and understand that's what we're going through. We're going through a spiritual battle. So this is when Satan is finally defeated. And I remember Woods and I had a class. We did a book study on the book of Revelations. And we looked at this and go, wow, why didn't God do it? It's so simple. So look at this. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the good news is Satan will be defeated. The bad news is it's some time from now. I can't tell you when. So that's why this message, I changed it to wear the armor of God. So let's start into the message itself. So if you go into Ephesians 6:10-17, and I'll read it from here. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This is so important. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There it is right there. So don't be confused. Don't be get upset when your politician, your mayor, your governor, your whatever they are, do things that are out of whack. Paul's telling us right there. Nothing has changed under the sun. It's right there. That's why you have to wear the armor of God. Then it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. So that's why every day you've got to put on the armor of God. Because if not, you're going to get schlacked. Chase had a football game Friday night. They got schlacked. I'm telling you. And the reason they got schlacked was because they didn't put on their full uniforms and go out there and hit somebody. They got destroyed. And one thing about Satan is, he's out to destroy. See, the thing about being a Christian is once we die, we're in heaven with our Lord and we're being embraced. Satan could care nothing about you. He's going to use you, and then he's going to trash you because that's where he gets his glory, right? He loves being a deceiver. He loves being a liar. He loves lying to you. And then what he loves even more is sending you straight to hell because that he just collected another soul. It is. He'll love on you his way, right? And then all of a sudden when he's got you, when he's got that sin injected in you, he's going to yank you out. Think about Judas, right? Judas comes to mind. Judas was one of the apostles. His weakness was he loved money. He sold Jesus Christ for 30 shekels of silver. Really? I mean, he sold Jesus for 30 shekels. So, and then even Jesus says, and then Satan indwelled him. So whatever that sin is, I'm a sinner, you're all sinners, we're all sinners. Wherever that sin is, if it gets deep in you, you just opened up a big doorway for Satan to indwell in you. So that's why it's so important to put on the armor of God, because that one little sin gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and one day, just like Judas, it indwells you, right? Now, he realized his mistake, but at that point, it was too late. And guess who didn't save him from hanging? The devil. See, if the devil would have been a cool guy, he would give him a medal, put a championship belt around his waist. Hey, man, great job. He just laughed at him and goes, you're an idiot. Congratulations. You're in hell. Next one. So anyway, go to the next one. Before you do that, I want to say something. I should have put on there, I should have included 6:18. And it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. So it's not just having the armor of God. Make sure you pray for those that you love. make sure you pray for all, even pray for your enemies. Because I can tell you this much from experience, you really want to drive Satan's minions crazy, pray for them, and let them know you're praying for them. So when they insult you, go, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. Try it sometime. It's fascinating. It will be like burning coals in their head, because all of a sudden, you're turning their evil into goodness. And then you just walk away and let God take care of it. So go to the next slide, if you don't mind. So here is Luke. I always like when I'm in business meetings or I share the gospel, I always like to try to provide receipts so that if you like the message, you can always go back, write notes, and can go check it out yourself. And if I'm wrong, call me, and I promise you Wallace will. So here it says, Luke 10:17-21. So Jesus sent out his followers to drive out demons. And so we go to 17. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So that is such a cool phrase. I love that. Don't take pride in that. If you have an argument with somebody, there's no such thing as winning when it comes to the Lord, right? I mean, our job is to share the gospel. It's not to rejoice in their misery. It's not to rejoice in their sin. Because I've been guilty of that before. Like, I've gotten into it with people, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm missing the mark. You know, I'm not helping them. I'm actually helping Satan. So it's really hard, right? Because a lot of times I want to go Old Testament on people. But you got to go New Testament on people, right? New Testament is what changes people. Old Testament might get them angry. And then really not listen to the message. So I'm guilty of it. I'm just sharing. Always try to go New Testament on people. And then it says, at the time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. That is so important, from the wise and learned. We have people out there with PhDs, master's degrees, biology degrees, can't define what a man or a woman is. Are we surprised? Our Father, our God, told us, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. When was this written? Luke? Over 2,000 years ago. Nothing has changed under the sun. That's why you have to put on the armor of God every day, okay? Because nothing has changed. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to speak to people with PhDs, master's degrees, double master's degrees, 3 bachelor's degrees, right? And they will argue with you about what you know is right. Why do we know it's right? Because the truth is, and God said it. So with those people, I'm just like, I pray for them. I don't know if I can share much with them because they're so smart. And then what will happen is when you share with those people, they'll send you 17 different articles written by 17 different atheists of trying to convince you out of your salvation. So be careful when you do that, because all that's going to happen is you get in a fight. The best thing you can do there is just pray for them, say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, and then just, you know what, clean off your sandals, walk out, and go to the next person. That makes sense? Don't waste your time with people like that. Do not waste your time. You pray for them. You pray for their salvation. But guess what? What they're going to do is they're going to embitter your heart, and they're going to make you mad every single day. Pray for them, but don't indwell with them. Okay, next slide. Okay, so I showed you the picture, and it's funny. Many years ago, a couple years ago, the younger people would realize this. Men always think about the Romans. When I grew up, I was always fascinated by the Romans. You know, it's like I had good education, elementary school, junior high school, college. I always studied the Romans. I thought it was a fascinating, fascinating civilization. I mean, what they did was incredible, how they dominated the world. Now, I didn't know why, you know, I liked them, but they were just cool. They were powerful. They were you know, all business. They won most of their battles. And, you know, if you're into winning and losing, you're going to be on the side of the Romans because they won a lot. And then just their society. Now, it's so cool because of that. Once I started reading the Bible, I made a lot of connections. If you think about it, the Romans converted to Christianity about 300 years after Jesus' death. Imagine that. The Romans used to crucify Christians. They used to throw them in a Colosseum and feed them to the lions. And a couple hundred years later, guess what? The whole country, they all converted. They all converted. And so the reason they converted, if you really go deep into it, is because a lot of the apostles, they weren't killed for their faith in Christ. They were killed because they spoke of the resurrection. See, that's the key to Christianity, is the resurrection, right? Because without the resurrection, you don't really have anything. But the apostles were killed because they proclaimed the resurrection. And that's what scared all the political leaders at the time. That's what scared all the religious leaders, was that it was the resurrection. So just keep that in mind when you're speaking to people. That is crucial. Let them know about the resurrection, because that's what makes Christianity so different than everything else, is that our Lord and Savior died on a cross, we're forgiven of our sins, and then he returned, not in the spirit, not as a ghost, but as a person with wounds, and he revealed himself. That's why, listen, if you really think about it, the reason Christianity has so many followers today is because of what Jesus Christ did on the resurrection. Even Thomas even said, unless I see it with my eyes and, you know, I see him and I touch him, I won't believe him. So Jesus said, here, feel here, open here. That's what converted everybody. Because imagine this, if I drop dead right now, you guys bury me, in 3 days I return, you guys are going to have an experience. Now, it ain't going to happen, I promise you that. But you're going to have an experience. And no one will be able to take that experience from you. So when the Romans try to take that experience away from the apostles and the followers, they're like, no, I know what I saw. I saw him crucified, I saw him dead, he was in a cave. 3 days later, he appeared to me in the flesh. That's why our religion, that's why Christians die so good, because we know the truth, and we know that when we die, we're in heaven. We're not, you know, we're in a better place, because, by the way, to you atheists and secularists out there, you're going to be dead longer than you're alive. And if I'm right, I don't even want to go there. If I'm right, for those that don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. And so, I'm just sharing. And by the way, it's funny. I write in my Bible, and my Catholic friends, when they see this, they freak out. Because, you know, I guess it's written in the Bible. Do not write in the Bible. But there was a place in here where I was looking. I was here earlier today. I was going to talk about Stephen, and I'll mention Stephen. And so do you mind if I just jump and step aside real quick? So when Charlie Kirk was killed, what's interesting is, you know who came to my mind? Stephen. He came to mind because he was just an angelic soul, did nothing wrong. The only thing he did wrong was speak the truth. And by the way, that's where you're going to get in trouble. The world is afraid when you speak the truth, because now you've shed light on it. And so let me share, I didn't write this down, but I want to share this because it came to me last night, and I'm like, you know, I really need to share this. So here we go. Apologize. The stoning of Stephen. So, you know, he was sharing the gospel. He did a great job sharing the gospel. And back then what they would do is they would talk about, you know, Moses. They'd talk about the prophets. And they would talk about the unveiling revelation of Jesus Christ. So he did a great job, and all of a sudden he got stoned. And it said this: when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. So one of the things about hell is the gnashing of teeth. So check this out. The Sanhedrin, it says the gnashing of teeth. And it said, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing of him. So, think about this. He's being stoned to death. I'd rather get shot with a bullet and die instantly, because when you get stoned, you don't know which stone's going to kill you. So imagine getting hit by 5 and 6 inch rocks, one after the other, right? And while that was happening, okay, he forgave them. I promise you this, an atheist wouldn't forgive you. I mean, a lot of people, but because he knew and he saw God, and by the way, the great thing about it is, once he died, he was instantly there. Now, this is what's so cool about this passage. Now Saul, who eventually becomes Paul, look at what he was. That's why Paul says, I'm the worst sinner. And that's why he says he's the worst sinner. I mean, Saul was a persecutor. He was out to destroy the church. And had it not been for Jesus on the walk to Damascus appearing before him, I mean, Paul was a bad dude. And so if God can change Saul to Paul and do these miracles, he can change anybody. That's why I still have faith for people. And it's funny, Charlie Kirk's wife forgave the murderer. Because I'll say this, Paul was worse than him. Paul was worse than him. You know, he killed one person. Paul oversaw the murder of many people, right? And look what God did in his life. He wrote three-fourths to two-thirds of the New Testament, depending on how you look at it. So anyway, I wanted to share that. So now we're going to talk about truth. And I'm going to make sure I keep you guys on time. So let me get additional notes I had here. I didn't want to put them up all on the slide because then I'd be looking at the whole time and kind of ignoring you guys, and I apologize about that. So I made additional notes that I can share with you if you want them afterwards. And so I'll just read from those. I use 24 stock because my eyes aren't any good anymore. So, truth. What I wanted to do was I wanted to talk about belt equals truth. So when in Ephesians, when Paul's, you got to understand, Paul was guarded sometimes by Roman centurions. Paul knew a lot about the Romans, right? He was a Roman. And so back in the day, I mean, if you're a Roman centurion, that's like a special forces guy. I mean, you are the bad of the bad, right? I mean, they were bad dudes, and they could put down revolts. What the Romans did was incredible. If you ever look at how they fought, how they were organized, even till today, people study the Romans. You go to West Point, you go to Naval, I guarantee you you're studying something about the Romans, okay? So here we go. A Roman soldier in Paul's day wore a belt that was made of thick, heavy leather and metal bands with protective pieces hanging down from the front of it. The belt held a soldier's sword and other weapons. The belt of truth of the spiritual armor holds the sword of the Spirit, linking truth and the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. So the belt is what holds, if we go back here, the belt is what holds the sword and other weapons that a Roman soldier would use. So there's 30 or 40, much more than that scripture, but these are the ones I pulled talking about truth. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And in John 8:31-32, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when you have the armor of God, you need the truth. So here's some Bible passages for you to maybe, like, you know, pray upon, and just know that you have those at your disposal. Okay, so that's one of the six things that you need. The first one is truth. If you go to the next one, righteousness, that's the breastplate. And so in the Romans, it was their protective equipment worn by the Roman soldiers who would not dare enter battle without their breastplates to guard their heart and other vital organs. It protected them against... So as a Christian, the breastplate protects you against spiritual assaults. That's what the Romans used it, because, you know, if you're going up against an enemy, you want to strike their heart, because you strike the heart, you go right through it, they're done, okay? Same thing, you go hunting, you go through the animal's heart, they're done, okay? So the breastplate was very important to the Romans. So the breastplate is righteousness. That's the comparable to righteousness. So I pulled some lines here. Genesis 6:9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He walked faithfully with God. Genesis 15:16. Abram believed in the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Wallace's favorite phrase. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then I put a footnote. Christ's sacrifice enables believers to attain righteousness, not through merit, but through our relationship with him. So that's what separates Christianity from all other religions, right? We don't have to worry about purgatory. We don't have to worry about lashing our backs. We don't have to worry about crawling on our hands and knees for 5,500 miles to go somewhere. There's many things that we don't have to do, right? Because Jesus Christ did it all. All we have to do is believe, and we have his salvation. And so anyway, that's righteousness, that's the breastplate. If you go to the next one, peace. I struggled with this one. I'm like, peace and shoes. So check this out. Roman soldiers during Paul's time wore shoes called caligae. These were heavy military sandals, half boot, half sandal. They allowed soldiers to march up to 25 miles a day in all types of terrain without getting blisters. Attached to the bottom of the caligae, there were thick hobnails, sharp studs. Not only would they protect a soldier's feet from rough ground, but they also enabled him to use them in battle to stomp on fallen enemies. These shoes provided great stability, which provided soldiers with peace of mind. Okay, so when we go to peace, John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So anybody that's been in the military, I wasn't there, but I know Doug. If you go marching, you need really good shoes, really need good boots, you know. And that's one thing the Romans, they were always well prepared. A lot of their enemies weren't. So shoes equates to peace in that example that Paul gave. If you go to the next slide. Faith. Faith is the shield. And so in researching the shields, the Romans used two different types of shields, by the way. They were considered a soldier's first line of defense. So faith is your first line of defense, okay? Faith in Jesus Christ is your first line of defense. There are two types of shields. Parma was circular and used in hand-to-hand combat. Larger shield is, it's called this SCUTUM scutum. It's 4 feet by 2.5 feet, weighed 20 pounds, used in formation. Outside soldiers used to form a wall, and around the formation, inside soldiers would raise them above their heads to protect from attacks above. Faith protects us from every fiery dart and arrows the enemy launches at us. So every day when you're in the world, Satan and his minions are going to attack you. They're going to attack you through media. They're going to attack you through school systems. They're going to attack you through government. They're going to attack you. So you got to have your shields up, okay? And understand which shield you need. If you're in hand-to-hand combat, you're going to use a circular shield. If you're marching in a line and they're shooting arrows, you're going to have the big shield. The guys would put them up this way, and the other guys would put it up to protect them. So that was the image that Paul was trying to display, okay? If you go to the next slide, we're almost done. Salvation. And the helmet. Helmets, you know, it's funny. You look at football players today, they're almost like Roman soldiers with all the equipment they have on, protective equipment. So it says, Roman helmets covered the whole head, face, and between the eyes. Without a helmet, one blow could be fatal. The helmet of salvation is the most important armor for the Christian. All other armor is useless without the indwelling Holy Spirit that enters a believer the moment they receive salvation. Okay? Salvation. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. 14:6. I love this one. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's salvation. Okay? And then finally, we go to the next one, is the sword. And this one's interesting because the sword can be used to both defend and to attack. So the spirit. And so let me go into this one real quick. Roman soldiers use the sword both for defense and attack. The Holy Spirit both defends when Scripture is attacked and goes on offense when spreading the good news. So that's why you need the spirit. Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that I've learned in my life is every day I pray for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, understanding, then I have specific prayers. Like, I come up here, I'm not intimidated, because I'm just going to let the Spirit speak. So I've gone off script, but I know that as long as I stay with the Bible verses, I'm going to be okay. Does that make sense? So my sharing with you is that when, you know, share the gospel, know the, and, but if you're sharing the gospel, you should also be reading the Bible. Because I guarantee you this, that individual is going to have questions. And if you're not able to answer that question, or at least some direct them to the answer, you're going to lose credibility, and then the Word of God is going to fall. You know, when the Word of God falls on good soil, it grows with abundance. When it falls on weeds, when it falls on, you know, in between rocks, if it falls, you know, on bad soil, it's not going to go as far. So we have to prep the soil. And the way you prep the soil is you read the Bible, you get to know the person you're dealing with, get to know them. You know, why are they not, you know, ask them. I said, hey, what's your issue? Why don't you, you know, want to know about Jesus? It's okay to do that. I got saved because no one ever asked me that question. You know, I got saved because I was in a room with about 1,000 people, and the head pastor came up to me and he says, God, he says, you have a question for me. He was the only person that ever did that. I had a lot of people sharing Christ, but no one ever asked me, why don't you make the connection? And I said to him, I said, hey, here's my issue. I said, if God is so good, then why do bad things happen in the world? And he goes, because Satan runs the world. That right there took the blinders off. You know, just like when Saul had, you know, he had on his eyes, he got the scales, right? All of a sudden they were removed. That's what allowed me to accept Jesus Christ. I'm like, okay, I'm mad at the wrong person. My whole life I've been angry at God. I shouldn't be angry at God. I should be angry, right? And by the way, had I picked up the Bible and read it, I lied to people. I'd never read the Bible. I mean, come on, let's be serious. I didn't read it. Had I read it, I would have known. But I didn't read the Bible. I can't tell you, in the last couple of weeks, I've talked to people, and they tell me they're religious, and they go to church and stuff. And I'm like, oh, really? What's your favorite path? I haven't read the Bible in a couple of years. I'm like, you follow me? So we as Christians have an obligation to read the Bible, right? If we're going to evangelize, if we're going to share the gospel, we have to read the gospel, right? You know, that's why Woods bought all those Bibles back there. You got to read it from beginning to end, because you're going to get questions, right? And at least if you read the Bible cover to cover, I promise you this, you'll probably become a Christian. You know what I'm saying? You will probably become a Christian. You're not going to become anything else, but, you know, I get mad, and this is, I get so mad at people that say, oh, you know, in the Bible there was slavery, or there was this, there was that. And I'm like, have you read the whole thing? Have you read the whole thing? Are there slaves today? Is there human trafficking today? Nothing has changed, right? Nothing has changed. The only salvation is Jesus Christ. Nothing has changed under the sun. So go to the next one. And then I'm going to finish with this. How did Jesus resist Satan? And this is where I get the most upset, because honestly, you know, I believe God knows everything, did everything. He's the creator of the universe, creator of everything. I go, God, why didn't you just take him out right there? Why didn't you just take him out right there? You know, all you had to do was like that, think about it, go. He would have, but he didn't, right? So, you know, now, because of this, we have to put on the full armor of God, because we're going to be in a battle, whether you want to be in a battle or not, between now until that passage of Revelation comes up. And I can't tell you what it's going to be, but I guarantee you, you won't know, I won't know. And anybody that tells you they know, they won't know either, okay? So understand, I'm telling you right now, you are in a battle. Okay, and when you play a sport, if the other team is battling and you're not, you're going to get whooped. So the time for, hey, you know, let's kumbaya. Listen, we can be kumbaya, but understand what you're dealing with. Okay, understand what you're dealing with. Look around what's going on in the world. Nothing has changed. Okay, nothing has changed. The difference is social media, right? Satan's message can get out faster. There's always a saying, the truth can circle the world. A lie can circle the world three times before the truth. So watch what your kids are doing. You know, that's why it hurts me so much, because Charlie Kirk was definitely making a difference to the youth of this country. He was definitely making a difference, you know. He was sharing the gospel. He was sharing the good news. He was nice. He's what everything, I mean, and better than that, he was a father with two kids, two beautiful little kids. You know, my nephew's 26, 27. He's got two little beautiful kids. And I think, wow, if he was taken away from my kids, what is that? And then the worst part is people were celebrating it. People were celebrating it. But guess what? It is what it is. That's the world you're in. Now you know, okay? Now you know. How did Jesus resist Satan? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So Matthew doesn't make it as clear, but when you're in Luke 4, okay, it tells you that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He had the Holy Spirit in him. So that's why you have to have the armor of God. If you're out in this world, you better have the Holy Spirit in you. You better make room for the Holy Spirit, okay? Because if not, it's going to be a rough day for you. Matthew 4:7 and 4:10. These are the answers that Jesus gave, okay? And I want to finish with this, because this was part of my original message, but I still wanted to include it. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on the every word that comes from the mouth of God. So let me ask you a question. If you don't read this book, how are you going to know what God has to say? Are you going to listen to some idiot on social media who's never picked up the Bible and see what he has to say? No, read it for yourself. You know, we've got, overall in this country, we've got a good education system, right? We can read. If you read this Bible, you're not going to be tricked. I promise you that. You may have disagreements with people about what this scripture says, how does it relate to this scripture, but the truth is in here. Pretty simple. Next one. I'm sorry, go back. Okay. You guys got me, 11:15, donut time. It's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay, I'm guilty of that. God, you got to do this. You got to. God goes, you know what? I gave you the Bible. I gave you the Holy Spirit. You go do it. You go there. And if you don't know what to say, I'll tell you what to say. Right? That's how it works. Okay? We want God to solve our problems. And God goes, okay, I'm going to solve your problem. What are you going to do about it? Have you been reading your scriptures? Right? What have you been doing in your life? Okay? Because guess what? He acts when he wants to act. We don't tell him when to act. Right? So we've got to be obedient and do not put him to the test. You know, when Satan told Jesus, hey, you know, he quoted my favorite, because of Ray, my favorite, Psalms 91, right? Satan quoted Psalms 91. He goes, hey, he'll catch you. Jesus, no, no, don't put God to the test. We do not put God to the test. We don't test him on how many sexes there are. We don't test him on what a male is, a female. Stay, that is sacred ground. That's God's sacred ground. We read scriptures, okay, but we do not test God. The next one, he said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So he made it pretty clear, okay? So one of the things I laugh about is I see these cars that say coexist, right? And I'm just like, oh, you know, God bless them, okay? But understand something. If coexist means turning your back to God, don't coexist. I'm just sharing. If coexist means turning your back to God, turning to back to what God says in Scripture, okay? Because, see, I believe that every word in this book is the truth. It's the truth. You know, I had one time a gentleman who was an elder at a church, I'm not going to say where, and this was like 7-8 years ago, and we were talking about the gospel, and all he goes, you know, he goes, I got to tell you the truth. And I'm paraphrasing, he goes, you know, because not everything in that Bible is true. There's a bunch of stories in there. I'm like, oh, interesting. I go, like, which ones? He goes, like Jonah. Okay. He goes, a man can't live in a belly. I said, but think about this. He was making fun of Jonah. Well, doesn't Christ talk about Jonah? I mean, Christ clearly talks about it. And when I hit him with that, he's like, well, that's why I stopped going to church, because I just couldn't believe that. Because I couldn't believe. And so what's harder to believe, that a man is in the belly of a whale or that a man died and came back to life? It's all faith, folks. This is all faith. And real faith is believing when you don't see. So with that, I think I'm done. Worship Lord your God. And, you know, so anyway, I just say thank you and God bless. I can't wait for Wallace to get back. And hey, listen, I'm really sorry. We're in a spiritual battle. And, you know, now Satan's going to come after me hard. I know it. But it is what it is. I spoke what I feel is the truth, what I know is the truth through reading this. So I'll close this out with a prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for, Lord, just thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that we as sinners have a home with you because of how much you love us. You gave us your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in our place. We're not worthy, Lord. We did nothing to deserve this, but by your grace and mercy. So we love you, Lord, because you loved us first. And I just want to say, third, Lord, just bless everyone that's in this congregation, anyone listening to this message, Lord. And we give this message out of love. We're not trying to scare anybody, but we really just want to share the gospel, Lord, and ask that all of the people that listen to this message, you put a protective shield of protection around them, Lord, and just give them the opportunity just to speak the truth. And if you share with somebody and they reject the message, just pray for them and then just go share with somebody else. Don't get caught up in it, and don't let anybody rob from you. And Lord, just bless everybody with the armor that you provided them with, and that Paul explained in the scripture. So we wish Wallace and Linda a safe travels home, and I can't wait for Wallace to come back and start preaching, and then I'll start preparing for a message next year if I'm so blessed to allow to give it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.